We have another one of those instances in Scripture where we have several recordings of the same event, but they don't all align. And the ascension, the recordings of the ascension, what is documented there, don't all align with the gospel writers. We do have the beginning of Luke's writings. What you heard in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles is the opening line of the Acts of the Apostles. He's writing to Theophilus. And the word Theophilus actually means lover of God. So whether Theophilus was a real person or a person in general, that's who Luke is writing to. And then if we go to the Gospel, we have the very last words of Luke's there in the Gospel. That's the closing chapter of Luke there, and it's and they were continually in the temple praising God. In both accounts, in the starting of Luke's Gospel and the ending of it, they both start in Jerusalem and in the temple. And he closes his Gospel in Jerusalem and in the temple. And from there, they were told to go out to all of the nations. Now, why I said at the beginning was that it's one of the historical events that are recorded but don't align is because in Matthew and Mark's version of the ascension, they have the ascension occurring on the same day as Pentecost. Luke has the ascension occurring 40 days later, and then Pentecost on the 50th day. John, the Gospel of John, doesn't mention the ascension at all. Now, for some people, not to have all of the information line up and be seemingly easy to understand, that can become a stumbling block. Don't let that be the case with us. That is not necessary. What is necessary is understanding who Jesus was and what he has asked of us, and what his position is now, or where he is now. One of the beautiful bits of language that are used in the Gospel, it says that he was carried up. And the word that's written there in the original translation is the same word that is used to describe the offering that the priest makes in the Holy of Holies with the incense. And the word that is describing the incense rising is the same word that we get the word carried up from. In one sense, Luke is really trying to tie in the sacredness, but in the priestly ministry of Jesus himself, which he is now passing on to the disciples. And then next week, we will be retracing some of this again. You can't understand Pentecost fully unless we understand the ascension, the movement of Jesus from this realm to returning to the Father, and we're told sits at the right hand. The right hand is the highest seat at any banquet. It is the place where the greatest generosity is exercised, or the opposite, perhaps being condemnation. And Jesus, we're told, says that it is repentance and forgiveness that has to be exercised. And you, to the disciples, you're going to be tasked with that mission in leading the church, of which Jesus is the head and the body of the church. You are the ones that have to start reaching and teaching repentance and forgiveness. And I note that this week coming up is Reconciliation Week in Australia. And whilst we have not achieved reconciliation in Australia yet with our First Nations people, a very good place to start might well be repentance and forgiveness. It might also be a good place for First Nations people to contemplate repentance and forgiveness. Because when two people come together and they do not agree and tensions arise, it does take two people to make that tension bubble to the surface. So I am saying that we have a collective responsibility as a nation and as individuals to take what we have heard this evening, repentance and forgiveness, and bring that much more into our personal life and into the domain of the public life of Australia as well. And I suspect that's why we have Reconciliation Week, to help us focus. And so it's timely that it coincides with the Church's Feast of the Ascension, the prelude to Pentecost, the sending of the Holy Spirit. When I go through the three readings and the psalm, but the three readings, there is one word that keeps coming up to me. In fact, it's mentioned five times in the readings, in all of those readings, and that word is power. Now, when Scripture here talks about power, let's not think about strength. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about a force being able to take over, to exercise like an armed force, an armed energy. That's not the power that we're talking about. It is not to do with powerful, and it's not to do with powerless or powerlessness, which would probably allude to weakness. The power that we're talking about when we refer to the Ascension and to Pentecost and to the Holy Spirit and the movement of the Holy Spirit in life is actually connected to what our children will receive next week in their confirmation. It is, this power, an ability to open up, perhaps an ability to understand what repentance is needed, and an ability to exercise repentance, an ability to recognize where forgiveness is needed, and an ability to actually exercise forgiveness. That's what the power is. Not to do with strength, it is to do with ability. Some of you, our confirmation candidates, I hope could remember what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are, the seven of them. And when we look at the word power connected to the Holy Spirit and the movement of the Holy Spirit, it helps us understand very clearly, even as adults, that this power gives us the ability to understand, gives us the ability to seek true knowledge. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. To seek counsel, wise advice, to exercise, gives us the ability to exercise wisdom, holy wisdom in our life. It gives us courage to be able to stand up and acknowledge that we are dependent on Jesus Christ. We are dependent on God the Father, the Creator. We are dependent on His saving Son. We are dependent on the movement of the Spirit in our life. That's what gives us courage, that fifth gift of the Holy Spirit. This power teaches us and leads us to be reverent, to understand what is sacred, and to respect what is sacred. And that would be particularly helpful when we come to this week of reconciliation. And lastly, the seventh gift of the Holy Spirit after reverence or piety is what we call fear of the Lord. This is not a fear where people are scared. That's not what this fear is. Fear of the Lord is best translated, particularly by young people, in the word awesome. They use it a lot. And if they could understand that awesome means not just the bigness and the might of God, but it is the never-ending ability that God exercises in our life to love us and to forgive us. No matter what we've done in our life, no matter where we go and what harm we may have caused, when we seek forgiveness, when we acknowledge that we have to turn our ways around, that is repentance, that invitation that was issued to you and to me at our baptism, that invitation is still sitting there. It will never be screwed up and thrown away. God invites us to join him sitting at the right hand of God the Father in the glow and the warmth and the security of God the Son. That invitation, as I said, given at our baptism, is constantly before us as we exercise these gifts of the Holy Spirit. Understanding, knowledge, counsel, wisdom, courage, reverence, and awesomeness, or fear of the Lord. This Feast of the Ascension, I pray for all of us that the Holy Spirit will open up in us the ability to exercise God's power in our life and in the lives of all who we come across.